This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
What stood out for you from the Bears coaches on Thursday's media session? Did you enjoy DC's Dennis Allen describing the mindset he wants his players to play with? Tough, nasty, hyper-competitive, and play with a swagger. Play with a chip on their shoulder. That's been a hallmark of the best defenses I've been around.
Yeah, I love that quote because it was so coachy. That's like that. I mean, he didn't use the hits principle, but that's a very coachy thing to say, right? I mean, just a very defensive coach, tough, nasty, hyper competitive. I love that kind of stuff. So it's fun to get a chance to just hear some of that stuff. I thought the most interesting thing he talked about was finding more ways to use Kyler Gordon. Mm-hmm. That's really kind of an interesting thing because Kyler Gordon has some traits to him, like when he goes on the blitz, man, that guy's a good athlete and he can do all sorts of different things. So that's always fun to see. The idea of playing him in different areas of the defense surprised me. And we've talked about this before. I think that the nickel, you're in nickel so much 80% of the time. It's like a starting position. It's not unusual to need a nickel for much, if not most, of the game. But that was a cool idea. I thought that there were a couple of things that were said that I like the general sort of the camaraderie that you feel among the staff, because that is what you are building. And I always love hearing from ex-players about stuff. Antoine Randall-El is a really interesting guy, and obviously local guy made good. And I remember him as a high school player. So it's always fun to see guys like that and watch their career unfold. I remember when Indiana, and he was a two-way player. I remember talking to him at the Senior Bowl when he was out of college heading into the NFL. And I love guys like that that are kind of lifers that have been around a long time. It's good stuff. Good to get
tough, nasty, hyper competitive. Play with a swagger. Play with a chip on their shoulder. I think that's kind of been the hallmark of the best defenses that I've been around.
I wanted you to hear him say it instead of me reading it. Much more effective that way. I liked what I heard from Dennis Allen. I felt a little vindicated. I think when we talked about this contract for Gordon, I thought, do you try him out as the second corner? You know, I brought that up, and I also think it's very interesting that they even talked about safety. But the thing that stood out the most, it was also from Dennis Allen. I used it in the pregame show. It's a good start.
Yeah.
When he talked about pass rushes.
We were talking about that before the show.
And was that
that's
a tipping?
Exactly right.
Is that a tipping of the hand about what maybe happens at 10? Is it a tipping of the hand of what happens a week from tonight when they get into the second round of the NFL draft?
You can never have enough of those guys.
So,
and that
stood out.
He's underlining that.
That stood out.
Stand out.
Yeah, I think Dennis Allen had a lot of really good things to say. Obviously, what stands out to me from Dennis Allen is someone who was a three-time head coach. He has so much experience, has seen it go very poorly. He's seen it go well. And I just really liked sort of his expertise and a lot of the different things. Hearing him talk about ways that he wants to use Kyler Gordon, again, it kind of ties into the extensions that Kyler Gordon received, TJ Edwards received. I just feels like the coaching staff and the front office is aligned and they're working, you know, hand in hand as they prepare for the draft. And it's exciting to hear sort of the plan for the guys that have been here, the guys that are new here, and the guys that are going to be here futurely, as Dustin likes to say. But really, I want to just say, because the question asks what stands out about the Bears coaches. I have so much to say about some of the guys that we got to talk to yesterday. But what really stands out to me is just sort of this group of coaches. Ben Johnson didn't just bring the Detroit Lions staff with him. You know, Matt Eberflus brought so many people from Indianapolis with him, people that he had worked with before. There are guys from so many different organizations, so many different experiences, so many different age groups, a lot of former players. There's just a really cool mix of what these guys are good at, and it just does feel like it's gelling very well. And I'm really looking forward to seeing sort of the accountability. That was a big buzzword yesterday. Obviously, after the Bears, that was a buzzword last year because there wasn't any of it. And I'm excited to just sort of see the way that the players take to this coaching staff.
And with that, I'll take your questions.
How did you receive the key quote from Bears executive VP, AK, at yesterday morning's season-ending news conference? How do you believe fans received it?
Well, I'm asking for fans of patience because we're in the first year of that transition. You know, I thought that the way we finished the year shows some promise. It's hard to win games in this league and to finish 15-5. Yeah, it's not a victory lap, but I think there's some positives.
All right, I know that we're not fans. I'm the fan, but how did you react to hearing that yesterday on your drive home?
I am so glad that I was on this show yesterday and we talked to Casey Johnson and Cody Westerlin, who told us that was exactly what AK was going to say, because I was prepared for it. It didn't hurt any less, but at least I knew it was coming. I think in an ideal world, I would have loved to hear more acknowledgement of this wasn't good enough. We have to be better. That's all. That's all I wanted to hear. And there was none of that yesterday. It was, I love the way we finished the year. We developed our young players. We learned this new style of play. I'm safe. Billy's safe. We're ready to rock and roll right back here again next year and hope our players who are already here take another step. And wait till 2026, everyone. I know this year sucked, but we're going to do it again next year. So that's how I feel. It was so very therapeutic. I'm just so glad that we had Casey and Cody yesterday.
By the way, futurely is now an obsolete adverb that means in the future. Just thanks to the Google machine for that. Some promise, some positives in year one of the new roster. So what he did by trading away Max LaVine and earlier DeMar DeRozan, he bought himself some more time. They all of a sudden got into, you know, the latest. This is going to stick with Mully for a while. Futurely.
I love you defended yourself by saying you used an obsolete adverb.
Well, so it existed
with
the L-Y. It existed at one point, so it was a word.
Could you do it again, please?
Futurely?
No. Use obsolete adverbs for the rest of the show.
In the future, I will do so.
Imminently.
But some positives, some good things, some promise. I really am curious, what will, like, the 2025 Bulls, you know, just wait till what's around the corner. Like, what's going to be the catchphrase? You know, see red, you know, in a good way. Okay.
How did I receive what our tourist was handing out? I did not want it. I would imagine that the fans did not receive it well. It was a difficult gift to know what to do with. Here, I darned you half of a sock. Let me get that on right away. It was very dissatisfying. I'm with you, Ruthie. I thought that having KC kind of explain to us exactly what was going to be said, and Cody kind of agree with what that's where they're at. This is what they got. They're going to have to run everyone back. We kind of knew that going in. I was just curious as to how he was going to try to sell it. And then he just kind of, well, we're in this transition, and you know what we're doing, and we're being very open about it, and nobody's job's in trouble, and love what Billy done, and we look at these four things that we accomplished. It's just, it unfortunately, it rings hollow because of the performance against the Heat. They did have this thing that happened at the end of the year. Had they lost on a last-second shot, had they been in the game in any way, had they been prepared to do anything, I think you might have received it a little bit better, because we know what the situation is. But it's very difficult to hear, did you like how exciting it was when we went 50? We're going to do it again. And, you know, who knows? What were they? They were like 8 or 9 games better than anyone thought they would be. I don't think any of us thought that they would be as good as they were a year ago, which is not the gold standard. But that they, if they could make that jump again, then they would get more interesting, or interestingly, if we want to go with adverbs. I just don't believe that the whole kind of lie of the year was exposed in that playoff game, and it was hard to hear it sort of underlined as a gold star moment. That's all.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I'm Tank Sinatra, here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
We host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
I don't know if that answered the question.
That's the voice of Billy Donovan. Are you on board with the Bulls' plan, effectively being to run it back and hope their younger players develop? AK admitted they won't have spending resources until after next season.
Well, I do believe in, the way we wanted to build this roster is basically having players that have experience to kind of shrink the timeline and continuously look for other ways to improve your roster. And I truly believe, I think Billy spoke before and after every game about how important it is for this young group to, to focus on winning and what goes into winning, instead of just rolling the, ball out and, tell them to go and develop, So this is very important for us, and, that's the path we chose.
Are you on board with the Bulls' plan?
Yeah, I'm not, but I'm understanding of what he is saying there, which is that they wanted to, they feel, even if the rest of the league is trying to tank, they feel that the competitive edge, whatever way you want to word it, is something that can shrink their timeline. They can get better faster by playing in bigger games, by trying to play to win. And I think that it is, you know, you're kind of zigging when everyone's zagging. You know, it's not a conventional idea. There's an element of it that appeals to me just because I have a hard time with tanks. I living through last year's White Sox, this year's White Sox, it is a difficult thing to, like, get everyone to just lose faith in any idea you might have. But the problem is, in the NBA, the only way to get better is to kind of draft yourself out of it. And there's so much information and so many people doing this. It is rare. And AK was part of doing it, where you find a guy like the Joker, who turns out to be this phenomenal player and eventually wins a title, and you find him in the second round of a draft. It's not something that you can do. That is the exception that kind of proves the rule. It's not something that really you can follow. You can find a player here or there. I think, as someone that doesn't like tanking, I wanna believe that it will shrink the timeline, but I don't. I think they need to tank, and I think they need to make moves, and I think they need to try something else. And it just doesn't work in the NBA to not have great players. It's the only way to win in the NBA is to find something, you know, very unusual. And, you know, Steph Curry was not the first overall pick. You know, you need to get lucky on something like that, and that's not the way to do it.
I don't know that I'm on board with it, but I don't know that we have a choice whether or not to be on board, because they don't have the flexibility. But I think we found the slogan for next year in the answer. Shrink the timeline. It's condensed.
That's a great T-shirt.
I think that's the T-shirt. Shrink the timeline.
Call the fine timeline. Folks there at Wrigley Field.
We are the radio home of the Chicago Bulls, and I think the shirt should be shrink the timeline.
It's a great slogan.
I'm not on board with the plan, and I'm with you, Molly. I don't like the idea of tanking. I think it's a really hard thing to ask coaches and athletes to do. It doesn't build culture. It's not in Billy Donovan's nature to tank and to tell your players, we don't want to win this game in so many ways. And I don't think that's fair to players, because Billy's talked about it a ton with you guys and other in the media in general about the value of teaching young players how to win games. Like, you have to learn how to win games, and you can't do that when you tank. Am I on board with the plan? No. Do I really see a better way? Not really. That's kind of the problem, is there's not really a way out of this, I guess, unless you trade and blow the whole thing up, which isn't really going to make sense at this point. So I guess, you know, you wonder if Vooch is going to be here next year. Could they find a trade partner for him? Maybe acquire some. I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and tell you what you can get for Vooch right now, but I don't know. There's no plan. I don't like their plan, but I'm not paid to make a plan. So, I'm just going to sit here and cry.
Way to handle it.
I'm sorry, I have a question for you.
It's the only way.
Of all the comments from the Bulls players on Thursday, did the Vooch make the most sense as he talked about his future?
It's hard to really, know what the plan is, what's ahead, what they're thinking of doing, but it's definitely something I'm going to talk to them about. Obviously, I'm at a stage in my career where I'm trying to win now, and play in playoffs and deep playoff runs and things like that. So we'll see.
Did Vooch sound like a guy who wants to be around or who will be around in the future when they shrink the timeline?
Yeah, speak of the devil, I think I really appreciated the candor from him there. And, after I just sent him out the door, I think it's worth noting that this is someone that has been an absolute joy and pleasure to cover, who is a great Bull, who represents the organization with class, and he does everything the right way. With that being said, do the man a favor, because I don't know if he's going to win here. It's going to take a little bit. And if he wants to go on, quote unquote, I quote him, deep playoff runs, it's going to take some time. It's not happening in 2026. That's what AK just told us, 2025, 2026. So I hope for the best for him, because he deserves it.
I agree. He deserves it. I hope for the best for him. But I think we've seen him play his last game in a Bulls uniform. That's my prediction.
Yeah, I don't think he fits where they're at right now. And I don't know that he has a lot of I don't think he has very much. Would they give up 2 first-round picks for him? They're not going to get 2 seconds. It's just not – there's no real value
here. You could say they lost that trade, right?
Well, if you wanted to. I'd have to take a look at what Wendell Carter Jr. is doing. Look at everything. But I think, I almost – after hearing him and knowing what – like how professional he's been about everything – I almost think they should do the guy a favor and ship him to someplace where he can help. I think that they do a lot of kind of discussion of trading players, but they probably value their own guys at a much higher rate than the rest of the league does. I think this is a situation where you could throw the guy a bone and try to land him somewhere where you're going to win, and he could knock down a 3-pointer in the course. I don't think he's a featured player. I think he is with the Bulls, but I'm not sure if he is around a contender, but he would definitely be a guy that would be a good bench player for a contender. And I would try to make that happen for him, mm-hmm. just because he's been a good soldier.
That's another really good question.
What did you make of Edgar Cuero's debut in a 4-hit, 8-0 shutout in yesterday's finale of a series sweep at the hands of the Athletics, whose future lies in Las Vegas? Is it time for the White Sox to bring up 26-year-old Tim Elko? He's hitting .373, 3 home runs, 11 RBIs down in Charlotte, even if Andrew Vaughn has been incredibly unlucky. He's not delivering.
That's what the claim is, that he's just been really unlucky. He's hitting the ball. It's just going to people. I got to tell you, I'm not a huge Vaughn-y guy, and there's a reason for that. He's been a disappointment. I'm not a huge Tim Elko guy. I don't believe that he's this kind of ticking time bomb that could come up and save their team or anything. But they can't break wind, let alone break the shutout. For the love of God, they were just pathetic. It's just so awful to watch, and their offense is awful. I thought. Edgar, I am really impressed with Edgar Cuero, and I'm not playing. I thought that he hit the ball hard twice. He hit it really hard. He had a long shot that was caught, and then he had a line drive up the middle that the pitcher caught with the back of his glove, one of those plays, and the guy, he looked kind of stunned by it. And he got hit by a pitch, so he got on base. But I thought what really impressed me was how good his English was. This is a guy that understood, as a catcher, in order to work with pitching, you need to be able to communicate with the pitchers. And he has done an extraordinary amount of work to learn English so that he can talk to the pitchers that he's going to be managing. He just turned 22, like earlier this month. This is a really young guy who's doing all the right things. And I was stunned at how articulate he was, and how he has immersed himself into the language, because he feels that this is an important part of his job, managing pitchers. I think that's phenomenal, and I think that's going to be the hardest part for him, is trying to come up with a game plan, trying to help guys, trying to work with pitchers as a catcher. But he apparently has improved at that. And the guy, I'm telling you, he's going to be able to hit. But they've got 2 young guys they brought up that might be able to hit a little bit. Nobody else on the team can. So try Elko. you know, you got to give up on the Vaughn thing. It's not working. And that guy would need to go. He'd need to be perfect for seven games just to get to like his weight as a batter. And he's having an awful year, and it's unfortunate, but they got to do something. Need runs.
Going Vaughn.
David loves we just, you know, little homage to David Haw, who's enjoying his last day of vacation. Perhaps the White Sox could borrow what I've determined to be the new tagline for the Bulls. Shrink the timeline.
That's all we got.
That's all we're going to get from him.
Okay, it's not a bad plan. Do you think Tim Elko would shrink the timeline?
He might get a hit. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I mean, what do you got to lose?
He's got some slug,
they can't
maybe,
score.
Right? He's
yeah,
got some slug.
They have no slug. They got, you know, hey.
Andrew Benintendi came
Luis,
off the,
Luis
right?
Robert, yeah, you need back. Him back. But,
he's got to come back.
Your 5'8 slugger is what, you know, oh, yeah, let's get Hack Wilson back. You know, reanimate him, for God's sake.
The Edgar Cuero story is really cool. It's a cool one. Like you said, just turned 22 years old. I love what you just said about the English and the relationship between him and the pitchers and all that. It's great. And like you said, I was actually impressed. He's got a lot of maturity. He feels ready for the moment. Like, he deserves to be in the big leagues, at least on that team. I think, like you said, with Andrew Vaughn, it's like you got to do something to – even if it just creates some competition, if it's something to just light a fire, because it's not working. You have nothing to lose. Give the young guys an opportunity and let's go.
He did you see the video of him when he got his call up?
Oh.
You know, they go into the manager's office. I got to tell you, like, it's not,
I love those.
It's not for radio, but the visual of that was unbelievable. Yeah. It was great. Really good.
I've answered this question, you know, a lot, obviously.
Do you feel any sense of relief to hear young Blackhawks star Connor Bedard state his undying love for the Blackhawks and his new adopted city?
I've said it a hundred times, and yeah, I love it here. And, you know, I'm a pretty mild-mannered guy, and, you know, if I look a little sad on the bench or something, maybe people can take it out of context. But, you know, I think anything can, you know, get said to me. I mean, I don't really look at that. I don't really see a whole lot of that unless someone shows me. But I just think, you know, I think people that know me know that I love to be here.
Are you relieved that Connor Bedard wants to be here in Chicago?
I love hearing from him yesterday. It's a good note to go out on, as there's probably going to be a, you know, transitional offseason for the Blackhawks. Can we shrink their timeline, Dustin?
Hire the coach.
I mean, let's go. But, you know, I think for Connor Bedard, it was a really tough year. He received a lot of national criticism, felt like people were picking on him. David Haw was ready to throw fisticuffs at people who weren't defending, getting up and defending Connor Bedard. I think, do you guys want to know what an emotional wreck I was when I was 19 years old? Like think about where you were when you were
oh
a teenager.
God. Yeah.
Like this young man has gone through so much and has so much pressure on his shoulder. He's 19, right? I think he's 19. 19, 20?
Yeah.
He's getting...
No, he's still a teenager.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is someone that has the weight of the entire city on his shoulders, and it's just he's been put in two pretty challenging situations. I think he's handled it as best as someone his age could, and he's gonna grow and mature. He talked about getting faster this offseason. He wants to be able to keep up, and he's got things to work on this offseason. He's gonna be better. I love hearing that he loves it here, because, you know, it was a tough year.
The back page of the Sun-Times today, Molly, I just shared it with you in our little G-chat we've got. Connor a goner. That's the headline on the back page of the Sun-Times today. Connor a goner, ? So, interesting. I think they can come together for terms in July on a new contract for him, and I think it's going to be like a two-foot putt. I think that's going to happen. I expect it to happen. I mean, here's a kid who's got unbelievable talent. The biggest thing that stands out from this season to me is that he didn't take a big enough jump, or a jump that you wanted to see. But the glaring thing is that he was left off of Canada's Four Nations tournament team. Right. And is that about Connor Bedard, or is that just the fact that they just have so much talent they couldn't find a place for him on the roster?
Yeah, I think that was more about the position he plays and kind of there wasn't.
You felt slighted, though, as a fan of the Blackhawks, that your best guy couldn't make his country's tournament team.
But it wasn't like they chose a bunch of younger players over him, right? I think that Bedard needs better players around him, and he needs there was a really interesting conversation that he had at the after the last game of the year, where he talked about how we're getting really fast. That's going to be all right. He wants to be a faster skater because he said that all, you know, he talked about Oliver Moore is supposed to be just one of these guys that can fly on skates. And he said that Frankie Nosar is really fast. And he said even the kid from BU, Greener, that's got to be Hunter Green, right? But I don't know all the nicknames. I know hockey players get a longer name when it's a nickname. Kane goes to Kaner. So I think that's kind of cool that they're going to be fast. And he said that he was talking about how he wants to get faster as a skater because that's going to be their identity moving forward. And I thought, well, that, you know, that's good if they're just trying to up the speed of the team. But they need more players around him. They need better players on the line with him. You know, all the stuff they did in the offseason, I thought he would be playing with better players, frankly. Mm-hmm. And it didn't seem to work out that way. But, you know, he's caught a lot of criticism because his game isn't as complete as, you know, some people would want it. I don't know enough about hockey to be able to critique him, but he seems like a pretty talented player to me, and he is still the future of the team, and I hope he's not a goner. But I do think that was the worry, that he looked so miserable and everybody was like, you get tired of losing. You can only do so much of that mm-hmm. before you need to show some progress. So it's going to be a big year for everyone.
And it sounds like the locker room was pretty toxic and negative at the end. It was just like a hard place to be.
Yeah, anytime you're losing, it's a hard place to be. It is. Yeah. It's just, you know, it doesn't bring out the best in anyone.